Hey guys, I'm Heather, and I'm the oldest. She's the emotional one.
Is it Bruce Dickinson?
Man, why? I mean, like, you haven't even read the list. You're like, Heather.
Hey guys, I'm Ben. I'm the middle child.
And he's the practical one.
What I need you to understand is that you have lost all credibility when we get to the cutting stage.
Why?
Kenny Chesney was your second pick.
I'm Beth, and I'm the baby.
She's also the swing vote.
My picks are great. And if you don't believe it, just ask me. I won't argue with you because I'm mature.
Together, we make the Music List Podcast. And we want to welcome you back to another episode of The Music List. My name is Ben. With me are my sisters, Beth and Heather, and we are siblings that argue while making music lists. That's the shtick. That's what we do. And we want to wish all the fathers out there a happy Father's Day. And there's only one way to become a father.
Oh my God. No, there's not.
That's not true.
That's true. That's true. There's one surefire way to become a father. Let's make a baby. And so,
oh my gosh,
in honor of Father's Day, we have decided to have our best baby making songs. We will let you use your imagination as for what that means.
Oh my God, I'm really rethinking my life choices.
But I mean,
this seemed like a really good idea at the time.
Yeah.
And
right now it's thundering outside and God's like, children, not appropriate children. So, yeah, but let me just put it out there.
Everybody's already super uncomfortable.
There's going to be a lot of nervous laughter in this episode.
Beth, what were you looking for?
I'm the only one here
songs.
Who has not yet made a baby. Oh, my gosh. So, my list is full of sensual songs.
Don't worry, we're going to keep this PG-13.
So, Heather, what about you? It's most of my songs, as I went back and looked at my list after I made it, are in lyrical content anyway, more recreational than purposeful.
Well, yeah, I mean,
are there a lot of songs about
baby
specifically making a baby?
I know one. I have one on my list. I'm really excited to talk about it later. But
I mean, like, you hope, I would think, that a baby is conceived in a romantic love. Not all my songs are that.
Oh.
Yeah. A baby can definitely be a product
for sure.
You know, of the effect of some of these songs, I guess. But I don't know. This is already weird, and I'm already uncomfortable sitting here with you two.
It's
going to
be a great conversation among siblings.
And gross.
And just to let you guys in on that, like, our family doesn't talk about feelings and stuff. Like, we're like, you're an idiot, you're stupid. Like, what you hear on this is like that's how we are.
Yeah.
And so, Ben, what were you looking for?
I won't shy away from the question, I tell you.
Okay.
I got three kids, let me tell you.
So basically,
I'm trying
to think about how to frame this in
eloquently put.
Like, if it were playing at the time of lovemaking,
yeah,
I want it to add to the atmosphere.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Don't say lovemaking.
You know, or in the course of intimacy. I would like for the song not to detract, but to
Sheldon
add,
Cooper, are you here?
To add some value to the moment.
Yeah. So you mean it could be background music at the You're not going to.
That's what we mean,
plate.
Right?
I mean, that's what I thought. Yeah. That's kind of what I thought, too. Not
that's
just songs
what
about
I was going
that's
for.
Not what my list turned into, really.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, this could be fun.
Well, now, whoa.
What will be really
now.
Interesting is the songs that didn't get drafted.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I was thinking. Like, if all the stars align and there was like this moment, you know, like it maybe help move that situation forward. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dave, quit making that face.
And also, I just want to say, since we're talking about baby making music, the conversation that you guys had about Conway Twitty before we got started was disrespectful.
That he's gross?
Yeah. Disrespectful.
He is gross.
I'm going to have to take a step back. I receive what you say. But
there
I don't
were probably
agree.
Some ladies from the 70s and 80s that don't agree.
Oh, my gosh, man. He was a stud muffin. Stud muffin. Personified sexuality in country music in the 80s.
Okay.
100%. 100%. So here's the draft order. I know we're excited to get to this. Beth will draft first. And in case you're wondering, the way this works, if this is maybe your first or second time here at the podcast, we have three rounds. We each draft three songs. We do it in snake order so that, you know, Beth will draft first, I'll draft second, Heather drafts third, but then Heather will draft first in the second round, and we'll reverse order, and then we'll reverse order again in the third round. That'll give us a total of nine songs, and then from those nine, we will try to eliminate four of those songs, give us a top five, and then we'll rank those top five, 1 through 5, to give us the definitive 1 through 5 list on the best baby-making songs ever recorded. Now, also, while we're here, before we get to the draft, mm-hmm. we need to mention probably our social media out. You know, we sometimes forget that. We probably shouldn't. So, if you can find us on Twitter.
X.
Oh, you had been doing so well.
Listen, I'm old, so it's always going to be Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Just look for The Music List
podcast,
and on these platforms, and you'll find us. We're also on YouTube, interestingly enough. I mean, I say it's interesting. We put us on there, but I mean, you can,
what?
Like, it's not a surprise to us that we're on YouTube, but
we're also on TikTok somehow.
Do we have a
TikTok?
I probably created that and forgot.
Oh, I was hoping somebody was imitating us.
That's the sign that you've made it.
You've made it.
We need to do some TikTok shorts.
We do.
And put them on there is what we need to do.
Sure.
Yep.
I don't know how to use it.
I'll get with our PR department.
We'll need some technical expertise on it. But yeah, so find us. And if you like the content, like and subscribe. And why don't you go ahead and subscribe anyway? That way, if you don't like us, you'll get a second chance. So, for us to change your mind. So, Beth will draft first, and I think we ought to get right to it. So, Beth, what's the number one overall? I mentioned that.
He is.
I think it's me.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, Beth.
Okay. So, my number one draft pick is I'll Make Love to You by Boyz II Men. If this is your first time here, this is was released in 1994, written by Babyface, so we know Babyface can write a good baby maker song. Smooth and sensual vocals, creating a romantic atmosphere, intimate vibe. the lyrics are focusing on the guy saying, I'm going to give you all my attention. It's very, he's focusing on you and your experience and wants that to be positive.
And it's about consent.
Yeah, if you want me to.
If you want me to.
And I will not let go. Yeah.
Till you tell me to.
Till you tell me to. So he's respectful.
He's respectful.
You can take that dude home to your
mom. It has aged well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I had to put that little bridge in there because this is my opinion.
Uh-oh.
If there is a man who can make you pregnant with his voice, it's Wanya Morris.
Okay.
So, and the 90s had some great baby-making songs.
Yeah, 90s R&B there.
I was in junior high when this came out. This song was huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Yeah. And I remember they played this like at the sports dance. We were like, can they play this at the junior high sports dance?
Well, they are.
Yes. Yeah. And I remember one of my friends, we were over at one of my friend's house, and this song actually came up, and the friend's father was lecturing us about the music that we were listening to. And he's like, this is not appropriate for, I was 14, 15 years old. This song is not appropriate for junior high kids to listen to, you know. And my friend was like, why not? What are you talking about? I was like, they're talking about, you know, having sex. And he was like, they might be married, Dad.
That's a good point.
It doesn't say they're not.
Snappy comment.
Right.
And Boys to Men always seemed like very respectable young boys to men.
Boys.
Very respectable. Boys. Yeah, Z, with a Z.
Yeah.
Very respectable. They did, though. I mean, you know, they were very. And
matching outfits.
And I'm going to tell you, their harmonies were tight.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Incredible harmonies.
Insane. This spent 14 weeks at number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
That's a good long time.
Had a good run.
That's a long time to be number one. You said number one? It was 14 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Number one? A long time.
Yeah. So, I'm the first one to have to go on this, but I don't
elaborate.
I don't have a whole lot to say because it's a little awkward, but this song is good, and I think it's
good for making babies.
Yeah. I mean, if this were, hypothetically, if two people were alone.
But it's like, let me set the scene for you.
And this were on in the background and they enjoyed each other's company. I think it would be, I think it could, you know, it could set the mood well for
a moment of fellowship.
Yes. So I submit to you, Boys to Men. I'll make love to you.
Okay. Well, that may be the most awkward first pick we've ever had. But it's my turn. It's my turn. We knew it's not a baby-making list if we don't have Marvin Gaye on the list. 1973, let's get it on.
Straight to the point.
Yeah.
I've been really direct.
This rose all the way to number one in 1973, spent 10 weeks in the top five. It actually fell to number two to Delta Dawn in those 10 weeks, but promptly replaced it and went back to the top spot. At the time of its release, it was the best-selling single ever from Motown, and that is a pretty important distinction. Over 2 million copies sold in the first 6 weeks of its release. It has gone on to sell over 10 million copies at Certified Diamond. Musically, it's kind of sneakily, if sneakily is a word, a work of genius. There's like hints of doo-wop in there. There's like a gospel feel to it. But deep down at its core is like a slow, seducing, rhythmic funk. And it all gets kind of wrapped together to create what's almost a religious sexual experience.
Did you write that?
I did write this.
Huh.
That makes it makes something that you feel should be wrong, be at the same time right and wholesome. On the one hand, you kind of feel like you're at, you kind of feel like you're at church, and there's those hints of doo-wop in the melody, which, you know, doo-wop is always kind of seen as a real kind of polite form of music. It just kind of has that hint of wholesomeness into what he's asking to do. And then what I really like about it at the beginning, you know it's going to be fire just with the wah-wah notes at the beginning of that song.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
He's like, oh, this is going to be the business. It's going to be the business.
The business.
And it's going to be business time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And
it's business. Oh, that would have been great.
Dang.
Totally forgot.
Yeah.
But I'm not done. Let's get to the lyrics.
Sorry.
I think the lyrics are genius. The first line is iconic. I've been really trying, baby, to hold back these feelings for so long. And that signals I'm done playing games. I'm done playing games with you. I'm about to put it all out there and shoot my shot right now. He's going full tilt boogie right here. Right here. And in the song, there's this constant give and take where he's really pushing the subject of the song to get it on. He wants the girl to get it on with him, but it's tempered with him drawing back and almost kind of a timidness in the song. It's kind of a back and forth. Like this is working. Oh, that's too strong. I need to pull back. Like there's this give and take throughout the whole song. And then the first like 3/4 or so of the song, I didn't measure it out exactly. He's actually seducing the woman, but then at the end you could tell that he has completed the task of seducing the woman, and he is in the act of having an intimate moment with the woman with lines like, I've been sanctified, girl, you give me a good feeling, so good, something like sanctified. And so, through it all, you have Marvin Gaye doing what Marvin Gaye does. And in addition to being one of the great vocalists of all time, he expresses the song with great emotion. That first line is so good. You honestly feel like his frustration level has reached its limit. And his thoughts are settled on the infatuation with this woman. And then you can see that transition into desperation, to frustration, to seductive advances, and finally, contentment. It is a masterpiece of a song at every level. I present to you what I believe to be the number one overall song. Let's get it on.
I mean, you do have to respect a man who is direct with his feelings.
Yeah.
He's not playing. You know, a lot of people will jerk you around a little bit. A lot of guys will be, you know, they won't just say how they feel. And you got to respect that.
Heather, thoughts?
Nope. No, I mean, when you're thinking about very sensual songs, this song is gonna come to mind. Of course, I'm sure it probably made everybody's at least their big list.
Well, and then you wonder, like when you make these lists, like, and not just this list, but any list, do I want two of the same person?
Right.
And Marvin Gaye had a number of songs that very well could have made the list. I mean, yeah. Sexual Healing could have made the list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he very easily could have made the list. But I kind of settled on, I really wanted one. I didn't want to have more than one song from one person. So it was like, which Marvin Gaye song do I want? And this is the one I settled on.
It's a good one.
For all those reasons that I've listed in the several paragraphs.
And they were many. That was a very thoroughly researched.
You really championed that song.
I feel like I should have started a blog.
Uh-huh. You should.
It's almost like we should have a Patreon or something.
Oh,
what?
Oh, man. Oh, is it my turn?
It is your turn.
Okay. I'm looking at my list and I'm thinking,
may have gone a different direction, but anyway, my first pick. Now, when I was making my list, as I usually try to just, you know, grab it out of thin air, and whatever organically comes to me, that is usually, not always, but usually going to be my number one pick, the first one that just really comes to me. And this was the first one that came to me. There was no question what I wanted my number one to be. It is Wicked Game by Chris Isaak. '89, number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100.
The world was on fire and no one could save me but you. Strange what desire make foolish people do. And I never dreamed.
Listed in the 1001 songs you must hear before you die. It was written after a telephone call from a woman looking to arrange a hookup.
Oh.
So that was what inspired it. It has that very distinctive guitar lead on the Fender Stratocaster whammy bar. So it's a very, very distinctive. It feels almost, I don't know, it makes me, you know, imagine that you're like on this deserted beach.
Yeah, yeah.
And this private beach where, you know, it's just two people alone. And it's very brooding, dreamlike. The vocals are kind of ethereal up in that head voice and even down. There's a really good balance in his registers because, you know, it's this rich, warm tone. And then he jumps up there, you know, into his head voice, that falsetto. It's just dark. It's moody. And I think it's very, I think it's a very sexy song. I think, it definitely sets a mood. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so, she's so uncomfortable. But the video also is very sensual. It's not, I don't know, X-rated or anything, you know, like that. But it's very much just, I think they may be on a beach. Actually, isn't it like Helena Christensen or some supermodel that he's with? It's all black and white, and I guarantee there were some babies made to this song. I guarantee it. You know, I it may be because I feel like I'm going to show my age on this topic. I don't know. This was, you know, this came out when I was. Actually, I thought that it came out later, and I think because it was part of a movie soundtrack or something, I don't think it really caught fire until the early 90s, because I remember being in college when it was really getting heavy airplay on MTV and on the radio, but it was actually released in 89. But I distinctly remember being in college when this
was. For some reason, it makes me think of Pulp Fiction. Is there a song in Pulp Fiction
there are at least a couple of songs with that whammy bar sound
in Pulp. I mean, in Pulp Fiction, I can't get the thought of.
Yeah,
it also kind of sounds. Is it the Twilight Zone? Not the Twilight Zone. The There's some is there something on my Halloween playlist that sounds like this, and I can't put my finger on it. It's like a
maybe
it's a theme of something.
It may be because No. It may be because they use that whammy bar in like surf music, and that may be why it conjures up beach type vibes. But I don't know. I think it's I just think it's a very intimate, ethereal, romantic song. And so, I don't know. This is just what came to me when I was thinking of my first choice.
All right.
Yeah. That's all.
You get another pick.
Oh, dang.
Spotlight's on you.
Oh, crap. So that was very romantic and ethereal. And what are you saying? Are you talking about me? You're talking about me.
I'm just ready to hear the pick.
Me too.
I'm Hit excited it. To hear this one.
Boy. Romance, not a factor in this song at all.
Also a very direct lyric.
It is. 1996. Number one on the R&B charts. Number six on the Hot 100. I'm just a bachelor. I'm looking for a partner. Someone who knows how to ride without even falling off. Gotta be so, you know, let's listen to this chorus. Created in 1989, 8 years prior to its release, and I guess they were just waiting on those perfect lyrics to make magic. Speaking of magic, it regained popularity with Magic Mike, which I've never seen, but I haven't. So there are a lot of horse riding metaphor.
If you're into the equine.
Nope. Oh dear God. All right. So
if you're into equine culture.
Oh my gosh. So this is, like I say, a baby could result, but this is not really about.
Mm-hmm.
About romance or feelings.
This is another one that came out when I was in school.
Yeah.
And again, they played it like at prom.
Prom, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when the DJ plays this song, teachers just need to understand at that point, you've unleashed the hounds, and the kid's gonna dance the way they're gonna dance.
And they're gonna grind nothing, all over each other.
And it's your fault for not getting this song taken out of the playlist.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they did this when you guys were in high school, but the tactic, if you wanted to dance very closely with your person at prom,
with your person,
was that the guys would stand. I didn't do this. I just saw it happen. The guys would stand in a circle, and the girls would be on the inside. So the guys, like, all their backs are to the chaperones, and the girls are on the inside of the circle, and they can't see what's going on.
I'm sure
on.
The chaperones had absolutely no clue.
It was weird because when I was in school, most of, like, the chaperones were, like, a good a good chunk of the teachers who were teaching us were parents of us. It just had, it just so happened. Yeah. And so that was an added layer of like, why are you doing this right now? Yeah. Well, you can't, y'all can't just go on a date. I don't know.
Oh.
But that's what happened at our prom.
I had a feeling this one was going to come up.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, when we decided to do this category, that was one of the first songs that, like, I bet that's going to be somewhere in my top nine.
Sure. Have you heard the, it's a mashup of
Toxic Pony. It's so good. Dude, it's
I embarrassed myself at work one day. I've done this twice, just to different songs. But I was just walking from work to my car. And I was not paying attention to my surroundings. And I was just on the sidewalk and I'm singing Toxic Pony like hardcore.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was late. Nobody else was there. But there was a young gentleman on a bike came riding up behind me. And so he was able to experience my rendition of Toxic Pony.
A cappella, no less.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, in instrumentation wise,
I mean, that's iconic.
That bass line,
and
that, yeah. And what is that a talk box? I mean, you know, it's just it is iconic.
Oh yeah,
you know, and it's just that bass is dirty. Mm-hmm. It's dirty,
like, as is
the rest of the song, but. I had a student who tried to somehow get this song played or something all the time. I had this student for like 6 years and she, like, we'd do a project and she would be trying to put it on her Google Slides or something. Cause she was like, Sanders, play Pony. Come on. And I'm like, no, I'm not trying to get fired today.
Huh.
She did, though, her senior year. We did she snuck it in there.
But good for her.
It didn't get to the lyrics, so it was okay.
Oh.
But, I mean, this is, you know, again, probably a lot of, if the babies weren't actually created to this song, they were created because this song was played in the club or something where they were. It started with this song. So
genuine.
Yeah.
Where? Oh, he's still doing. Have you not seen him?
No.
Oh. Do yourself a favor. And after this is over, look up Genuine performing this in like 2024.
Oh.
That man should probably leave it to the people that are doing the Magic Mike stuff now.
Oh.
It's not aging well. Mm. Oh. And he's doing did you see the Justin Timberlake dance where the people are like making fun of him because it's not quite as smooth as it used to be? Well, it's like that, but to this song where you're like, oh, you're trying.
1996 was a few years ago.
It was.
So.
Indeed. Yeah.
That's a whole adult ago.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Almost 30 years ago.
Yeah. Yuck.
Yeah.
Blech.
Been a minute. Been a minute.
That's all.
So it's
you.
My pick?
Yep.
Okay. So we want to be very clear here. Despite some of the songs that we may play, I think all of us can agree that intimacy should be between married couples.
Sure, yeah.
And so I felt like we needed a married couple. Okay. Let's Make Love, Faith Hill, Tim McGraw.
Oh.
Let's make love. Let go. I wanna feel you in my soul.
song rose to number 54 in the Billboard Top 100. Now, for a country song, that's pretty high. It remains Faith Hill's longest-running single on the Hot Country Song Charts, and it's Tim McGraw's second longest single on the Hot Country Songs Chart. And considering those two, their careers, that means this song did pretty darn well on the charts. It stayed in the mix, actually, for 45 weeks. It won a Grammy for Best Country Collaboration with Vocals. Now, lyrically, it's pretty basic, it's pretty generic stuff. And Faith and Tim are good singers. I wouldn't call them great singers. But where this song, I feel like, hits a different level is with the chemistry that the two people have. Obviously, they're married, but by all accounts, their marriage is like rock solid. You know, they've been married since 96. They've been through struggles together. McGraw talked about how Faith helped him get sober. It's not a paparazzi marriage. It's a real marriage. I mean, obviously, I'm not in the household with them, but it sure appears that they love each other very, very much. It seems like it's the real deal, and that authenticity bleeds into the duets that they do together, and it's one of the reasons they've had so many duets do so well. Yeah. And in the past, we've talked about Loretta Lynn and Conway Twitty and the chemistry that they had, but they weren't lovers. They were obviously had a great working relationship and good friends, but it was all platonic. That's not the case with Faith and Tim. They're romantically involved. And in my opinion, and this may be up for debate, but to me, Faith and Tim are country music's greatest power couple that ever lived. Now, because George and Tammy didn't make it.
All right.
They didn't last. Right. Waylon and Jesse made it. But Waylon his career was so far ahead of where Jesse's was. And the same with Johnny and June. Johnny's was.
All right.
Career was so much further ahead than June. And like, we recognize Faith and Tim as a package deal. And even though, like, Trisha Yearwood's had a great career, no question. Garth Brooks had a different level kind of career. I feel like we don't see it as Garth and Trisha. We still look at it as Garth. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, like, you don't go to the Garth and Trisha concert. You go to the Garth Brooks concert. So to me, like, Tim and Faith Hill are like, you can't separate them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I kind of put in here, it's the closest thing that country has to Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Yeah, that's true.
But here's the other piece of genius to this song to me, is they let Faith take the lead on it. And, you know, she sings the first verse of the song. She sings the first chorus on her own, and she sings every chorus. And she's the first one to make the preposition, let's make love. Here's why I think that's important. If a guy says to a girl, even if they're married or in an intimate relationship, and he says, let's make love, it's kind of like baseball. If you bat 300, you're a Hall of Famer. If you fail 7 out of 10 times, you're still a boss. But when a woman propositions the man, the percentages go way, way up. And so to have Faith Hill pose that potential foray, that thing's a done deal. That's happened. And so I think that was a really, really smart move on their part. And in my opinion, one of the greatest baby-making songs of all time.
I mean, when you watch them on stage, especially when they do, well, you know, like this song or I Need You, when it's really, they get, like, their knees are intertwined and they are just looking right at each other. And, I mean, I don't think they're trying to sell it. I mean, I think they genuinely feel that way, but you feel a little voyeuristic watching them sing together sometimes, because you feel like you're in an intimate moment. And I mean, honestly, you're in a very vulnerable state when you're
using your voice as your instrument. And so it is, when you're making music with somebody, that's, I mean, that's a little bit of an intimate moment, you know? And so it's,
yeah, I mean, definitely, when they're live together and they're singing some of these songs that are a little bit more forward, I would say, and less, leave less to the imagination than country yeah. oftentimes does.
Right.
It does look like sometimes they are ready for the show to get over and get uh-huh. behind closed doors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that's a, but that goes to that chemistry. I mean, it's just, and kind of piggybacking on what you said, I was reading where Tim McGraw had said that he's intimidated to be on the same stage with her or to film these videos with her, because he said the camera loves her. She's just so beautiful.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Know, and
true.
I have to be in the same picture. You know, it's like, yeah. But yeah. So I mean, that's, I think to me that's what makes all of their duets so powerful, is that either it's real or they have done a great job of providing that illusion to us mm-hmm. that it's real. But it sure seems legitimate and authentic.
Yeah.
So, Beth, you get the last pick of the second round.
Well, I appreciate that you gave us a true love's depiction of intimacy. And I will switch it up a little bit. but I have to ask you a question, just a test to the both of you first. Do you know what Usher was doing at 7 o'clock on the dot?
I've seen this on seems like TikTok. Neither of you
I
do.
No, I'm not. Well, he was in his drop top cruising the streets in the song "Nice and Slow," 1997. Waiting for me, I pull up, anticipating good love. Don't keep me waiting. I got plans to put my hands in places I've never seen, girl. You know what I mean. Let me take you to a place so nice and quiet. There ain't no one better in Europe. Ain't got a rush. I just wanna take it nice and slow.
Now, baby, tell me what you wanna do with me.
See, I've been waiting for this for so long. Till the sun comes up, baby. I just wanna take it nice and slow.
Now, baby, tell me what you wanna do.
Now, here we are.
Ooh, Usher. Usher.
So, the whole idea of this song is taking your time and to enjoy the moment. And so, that's typically, I don't know.
Home. So you want a man with the slow hand.
Ben. So, this is the 90s R&B version of that.
Slow hand.
Yeah, so that's what, there's a song. There's a song by Missy Elliott, if you ever heard it, One Minute Man. Usher is saying he is not that. So it's a kind of slow tempo. You could put it on in the background on date night. and it's Usher. Come on. You know, Usher got a lot of great baby making yeah. songs. There was a meme, because it'll date the episode, but so this year he performed at the halftime show, and last year Rihanna performed and she had the announcement that she was pregnant. So mm-hmm. There was a meme that was going around, said 2023 Super Bowl, Rihanna is pregnant, 2024 Super Bowl, we're all pregnant. Because Usher's just got, he's that dude. Yeah. And you know, he he left his clothes on. He left his shirt on much longer than I thought that he would in the halftime show. Yeah, so props to that. But yeah,
and what year was this?
1997.
Yeah, I mean, again, right when I'm in school.
Mm-hmm. Were y'all were they playing this at y'all's dances? Because this
I
one,
I bet they were.
This was not quite as wholesome as "I'll Make Love to You."
It would have. It probably was played at prom. My senior prom. My senior prom was the spring of '98.
Oh yeah.
So it was almost probably certainly played. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just that Usher effect, making babies. That's that.
Do a lot of your classmates have babies that were born in 1999?
Mm, oh yeah. Did you have a lot of?
We had some in high school.
Okay.
Now I know why.
That's right.
The music.
They were listening to Nine and
Genuine and
yeah.
And Usher.
And
yeah,
Boyz II
those
Men.
Are two very different nights. Well, not well. Yeah, they are. But anyway, I think maybe. Are we ready for me to go to my next?
Yeah.
There's some things I just don't know how to say in a genteel way. Okay, so my last pick is so not the same. It's the same genre, and this one actually goes out to Cheryl Bryant. This is a weird dedication. She loves this dude. She loves Joe. This is "I Wanna Know" by Joe.
Yeah.
No. Baby, I'm the kind of man who shows concern. Yes, I do. Any way that I can please you, let me learn. So I wanna know. I wanna know what turns you on. I wanna know so I can be all that and more. I like to know. Smile, babe. Tell me what I gotta do to please you.
Love it.
Baby. So, man, this had to be when I was like nearly a senior.
1999.
Or, yeah.
So,
I
told y'all, 90s R&B.
90s R&Bs, yeah.
They did not miss with the baby making song.
Mm-mm.
So, this one's different from even "I'll Make Love to You" and "Nice and Slow." This one, he's saying, it's love, care, understand. He's creating that emotional intimacy first, which is different than the others that are focusing on detailing the physical intimacy. And when you're in a relationship where the other person creates that space, they develop that emotional connection. It leads to the physical intimacy. And this is like, I care about you as a person. I want to know about you. I want to know all these things. You tell me. Not, girl, this is what I'm going to do. Like, he didn't come in there like that. He was like, let's chat. First off, I want to know everything about you, girl. And then she tells him, and he's, tell me what I got to do to please you. Anything you say, I'll do. He said, I only want to make you happy. That's Joe. Joe's not coming in there like Genuine. Genuine said, climb on.
Jump on it.
Yeah. I didn't, and Joe, let's have this nice night.
Make this baby.
Yeah. If that's what you want, girl.
If that's what you want.
So, yeah. So, it's a little bit different. And I think maybe nicer than some of the others that are just saying, let's talk about. That's one. I missed that one. But anyway.
There's so many, man. There's no way you're going to get all the great ones in and nine picks.
Yeah, Sean had a few suggestions from Color Me Bad. Yeah. Remember Color Me Bad?
I do.
Bad.
That's all I got on Joe.
So it's my pick?
It is.
All right. You know what we don't have yet?
No telling.
We don't have any rock and roll.
True.
I feel like we need a rock song maybe to round this thing out.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
From 1984, the album was Agent Provocateur. Foreigner, I Want to Know What Love Is.
It looks like love has finally found me.
I just want to say, and I don't know that I don't know that I've ever mentioned this on the podcast. I am a huge mark for Foreigner.
Yeah.
I love Foreigner. I feel like they're really underrated. They don't get mentioned enough when we talk about the great bands from the 70s and 80s. And I would really dig a Best of Foreigner episode, actually. I mean, they've got a ton of great songs. Pretty diverse, too. Hard rock, soft rock, the synthetics. They get into the synthetic rock and synthetic pop stuff. Really, really great ballads like I Want to Know What Love Is, Waiting for a Girl Like You, I Don't Want to Live Without You, Say You Will. Then they've got these like in the primal carnal part of baby making songs, they've got like Hot Blooded and Urgent and Feels Like the First Time. Then they've got some just, you know, fun bangers like Jukebox Hero and
bangers.
That's not what I meant. Dirty White Boy, Double Vision. They're not a one trick pony. So, but in this song, all right. This does happen to be Foreigner's biggest hit. It keeps getting rated in Rolling Stone's Greatest Songs of All Time, Top 500 list. It hit number one on the Billboard Top 100. Interestingly, it's Foreigner's only number one song on the Billboard Top 100. Hmm. However, it was still charting in the top 25 of the Hot Adult Contemporary charts as late as 2002.
Wow.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot going on here. I think the lyrics are excellent, where a lot of our baby-making songs maybe don't have the most in-depth lyrical content. Most of the songs are about, you know, the boy getting girl, or about male bravado and, you know, all the things that they can do to make other people or the, you know, the female feel such a way or whatever, the great things they can do. This song is like a totally different deal. This song's about showcasing vulnerability, hurt, broken past, having this belief and trust that they'll put it all out there with this woman. You're laughing at this man. He's pouring his heart out in song.
Every bad boy has a soft song.
Yep.
But I love the line, in my life there's been heartache and pain. I don't know if I can face it again. But then he does exactly that with this particular person. That next line, I want you to show me. There is action required on the other side to fix that to fix that issue. But then the other part is I do not think that Lou Gramm gets the credit that he deserves for being one of, I think he is a phenomenal vocalist. A phenomenal vocalist. One of the great voices of the 70s and 80s that oftentimes gets looked over. When a lot of those great voice lists are made.
We have an ongoing fight about who's better, Lou Gramm or Paul Rodgers.
I would say Graham. I would say. I love, because he's so.
He's great.
It is really hard to find artists that can do, like, really sensual ballads. This and Hot Blooded are two totally different songs, and he nails them both.
Yeah.
100% nails them both. And then Jukebox Hero is its totally, you know, different kind of a scenario. And I know Jukebox Hero is a cheesy song, but it's a great cheesy song.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's a great cheesy song. But in this one song, I feel like, and I use the word emote a lot, but I feel like the number of emotions that we go through in this song, I feel like he does them all very well. You know, it starts with hurt and pain and hesitancy in the verses and the pre-chorus, and then he flips that switch instantaneously in the chorus that goes to desire, need, and yearning when we get to the chorus. And yes, it's an incredible song, complete with a gospel choir.
singing a woman screaming at you at the end. That's the best part.
You know, so yes, while most of these songs will try to overplay the masculinity and sexuality to get the physical going, this song takes a little bit of a different track to get there, hitting on and to your point, a more emotional and deeper level to get ultimately where we'd like to go. Which is the physical.
It's a good song.
I mean, I do. Kara and I, we had a Foreigner's Greatest Hits CD. And, man, we wore that thing out. You know, it was in our solid rotation. Like Dazed and Confused soundtrack was in that. We had like the Beatles one album.
Oh, yeah.
But this was in our... This was in our Led Zeppelin 2.
Yeah. In your CD changer?
Yeah.
We didn't have no CD changer. It was pop it out and put the next one in.
In the big book.
Yes. 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 But this was and you know, there were some in there that she did not want me to play. Like I had Kiss Double Platinum. Oh. She didn't like Kiss.
That's too bad.
So I had to listen to that when she went in. But anyway, that was my pick.
Good one. All right.
And we are to the last pick.
Yes. Okay. 1984. Oh. Prince from Purple Rain, The Beautiful Ones.
Back to back 1984. Oh, that synthesizer in 1984 was...
Produced, arranged, composed, and performed entirely by Prince. And when I say performed, I mean that he played every single instrument, including drums, everything, sang it. I mean, did everything. rumor had it that it was written for Wendy's twin sister. You remember Wendy and Lisa? Well, Wendy had a twin sister. And, the rumor was that he had written this to woo her away from her boyfriend, but actually Prince says that it was written for vanity. And because, you know, they had a thing, and he discovered her and, you know, made her famous and everything. It's beautiful. It's dark. It's moody. Prince's vocals. Oh, my gosh. I mean, he's all over the place. It's got that underlying
slow, steady beat, but then it's all that shimmery stuff on top of it, and then the vocals on top of that. And then at the end, I'm gonna have you fast forward a little bit to the to the climax of the song. It starts out very, very slow, very sensual. It ends like that. I'm just gonna kind of leave that song there. And Prince, the beautiful ones. I'm just gonna. So, I think it's one of his most, and Prince is no stranger to a sensual song.
No.
You know, so, but this one's my favorite.
So. Your favorite Prince song?
My favorite Prince baby making
song. Okay, gotcha. Okay, so we have 9 selections now. Is that true?
It's true.
All right, what are they?
Ben has drafted Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye, Let's Make Love by Faith and Tim, I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner, Heather drafted Wicked Game by Chris Isaak, Pony by Ginuwine, and The Beautiful Ones by Prince. I drafted I'll Make Love to You by Boys to Men, Nice and Slow by Usher, and I Want to Know by Joe.
All right, so the songs that we did not select, the one that I almost picked over Foreigner, and I really wanted to pick it because I love this, one of my favorite songs, is When You Say Nothing at All by Keith Whitley. Uh-huh. Also had another country song, Come a Little Closer by Dierks Bentley. Had Between the Sheets by the Isley Brothers, and I do like the Isley Brothers.
I know you do.
And then Take My Breath Away by Berlin.
Oh.
And I don't know if it's because I really liked the song or if it was that scene in Top Gun, mm-hmm, is just, I think, ingrained in everybody who was a kid or a young adult at that time. I mean, like, there are a few scenes in Top Gun that I absolutely remember. You remember that scene. You remember Tom Cruise on the motorcycle. You remember Goose dying.
And the volleyball scene.
Well. You know. Why do you remember the volleyball scene so well? It has nothing to do with Val Kilmer and them having their shirts
Absolutely
off.
Absolutely not.
It has nothing to do with that, does it?
It was just an amazing display of athleticism. Those guys did their own stunts. They played their own volleyball.
Well, I guess I don't need to watch that movie now.
No. Sure. Spoiler alert.
Clearly, I know a huge plot point now.
Oh, about Goose?
Yeah, whoever is Goose.
Okay.
Whoever is Goose.
But by this point, if I haven't seen the movie, that's my fault.
I mean, yeah, it came out in 1986.
The movie's been out for a little while.
Yeah.
It's been out long enough they made a sequel.
Sure.
30 years later. They made the first.
Before you were even born. So.
But yeah, so those were the songs that I had on my big list that did not make it. Beth?
I had Versace on the Floor by Bruno Mars. I also had Between the Sheets by the Isley Brothers. Too Much Heaven by the Bee Gees. And Pregnant by R. Kelly. And this is a very direct.
That's very on the nose.
You made me wanna get you pregnant, knock you up pregnant. That's him, Robin Thicke, somebody else, and Tyrese. But R. Kelly, listen, R. Kelly's also somebody who, well, anyway, he also has a song called Feeling on Your Booty.
Yeah.
So we could have picked that one.
You could have
plenty of options, but Pregnant's probably my favorite R. Kelly song.
Heather?
Okay.
I also had Let's Get It On, but All of My Love by Led Zeppelin. Need You Tonight by NXS. Slow and Easy by Whitesnake. Closer by Nine Inch Nails, which is not...
So you put all your rock songs at the bottom of the list, apparently.
I guess. Closer is really... I mean, if a baby comes out of that song, then... But that is not the purpose of really that song. That's just like... Not, and Glory Box by Portishead.
You're such a romantic.
After looking at this list, I'm like, oh my God.
Such a romantic.
This looks bad.
I'm like, come a little closer. Take my breath away. When you say nothing at all. She's like, Glory Box.
Well, I have a song called Closer. By Nine Inch Nails. I mean, we don't need to get into the actual chorus of that song, but.
Oh, boy. Know. So, point being now, we have 9 songs, and we need to go from 9 songs to 5.
Working 9 to 5.
Okay, so I'm going to make a proposition right out of the gate. Because
all the like the innuendos, like I'm just like everything.
Even
is
if
funny.
You don't mean no, it, yeah.
Because there are 2 songs that you 2 drafted, 1 from each of you, that was in my top 5, and I would be willing to move them over right now. One of them is "I'll Make Love to You" by Boyz II Men was my number 2. And my number 4 was Pony by Ginuwine. So I would be moving to, I would be willing to move those 2 over right now because they're already in my top 5.
Yeah. And I'll, Pony was also in my top 5. And I also had Let's Get It On in my top 5. So I would say we could move 3 over, 1 of each of ours.
It was on my top 9. So.
Which one?
Let's Get It On.
Oh, what where about, was that for you?
What 9.
About, what about I'll Ooh. Make love to you? Was that in your top 9?
It was not on my list. What? Well, you can see.
I feel like you failed.
Well, which direction I went.
She misunderstood the assignment, I think.
Listen, the end can justify the means. I mean.
Yeah. Well.
It didn't say it had to be like that. Didn't quite go like emotionally healthy. Baby, make
oh
it
my
song.
Gosh! So where are we at with that?
Yeah, I guess I didn't think the song had to be just about making babies. I was thinking that it was
making
what was gonna set the mood. What was gonna make it more likely?
Yeah.
For people not in the song to make babies.
But I will say that it's really just. The action of it all. So I guess if you're enjoying yourself, you'll do something more often, which increases your likelihood.
I mean,
of making a baby.
That can be made listening to the Gilligan's Island theme, but I mean, you know.
I'm sorry, what?
But it's.
I mean, it,
I don't think
you
it's gonna,
can. Yeah.
That was
or Sports Center.
You can make some Sports Center highlights.
Oh gosh!
So the thought of what are we moving over? Let's revisit.
Well,
that.
I would be fine moving those 3 over, but Heather did not have the Boyz II Men song on her list at all. Why not?
That was a miss. Because I thought there were other songs that were better.
Yeah, I feel like that was a whiff. Like.
Yeah,
that's
struck out on that one. Let's put it on the maybe list. Y'all
are
like
you
to do that
real?
A lot. Y'all like
you
to
are
put
tabling.
Stuff on.
I'll make love to you.
Yeah.
Okay. Hold please.
I mean, it's probably going to get moved over, but
let me start the holding.
Okay. So are we moving over Pony for sure?
Yes, it was in my top.
Let's move that wholesome piece of musical masterpiece over.
Here's what's interesting about Pony, and I just now thought of this. Ponies are small.
Stop.
Why would you not say stallion? Or
it doesn't sound as good.
Thoroughbred or Clydesdale. Yeah,
that's too many syllables.
Clydesdale's the same.
Clydesdale. Do it. My Clydesdale. Sleigh bells in the background.
And then you get a Budweiser sponsorship. A little product placement.
Think of the possibilities.
I don't know if Genuine's drinking Budweiser.
Mad Dog. All right.
we're moving Pony over, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what about Let's Get It On?
It was also in my top
five.
I'm
fine with that.
Oh,
it was your number nine.
I just thought we were for sure going to get all three of those moved over right out of the gate.
Boyz II Men wasn't on my list at all.
Why'd you put Marvin Gaye at number nine?
Well,
it's another whiff.
It's like literally one spot off. Okay, here's the deal. You say, Let's Get It On was my number nine, but Boyz II Men weren't on my list at all. It's literally like one tick away, but you're like, no, put it on the holding cell.
Probably gonna go over. Then let's just do it. Well, let's talk about the other songs.
Why?
Okay.
All right, I'm about to be a menace. Let's talk.
Here we go.
Okay, it's fine. Put it over, but. That's fine, but I want to make sure that the Prince song is in consideration.
Why did you not draft it first?
Well, I changed my mind. I mean, sometimes things move around because y'all aren't. There's no way you're gonna move the Wicked Game over. The Wicked Game, Wicked Game.
Well,
I honestly would be more likely to move that over than the Prince song, honestly.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Well, it was my number one. I love that too. So,
I didn't say I was saying we should. I said I'm more likely to agree to that one than the
Prince.
Okay,
what else is up for consideration?
Well, maybe we could cut one. Beth, if you could cut one.
Out of everything left?
Out of the ones that are left, what would you cut?
I would cut the Prince song. He's sitting there like, he's not even sure if she likes him.
No, he's
like,
her.
I gotta know, tell me. Like, it's not really a romantic song. He's like begging. It's actually kind of desperate.
It's kind of sad. I didn't get that at all.
What would you cut if you could cut one?
What's left?
Let's Everything. Make love.
Nothing's been cut yet.
True. Let's make love. I want to know what love is. Wicked Game. The Beautiful Ones. Nice and Slow. I want to know.
I would. Simply because it's the one I know the least. Nice and Slow.
You said you almost put that on your list.
But it's the one I know the least.
So weird what you're doing.
I can tell you two, at some point, this is going to come to a head. And it's going to be like awesome to watch.
I don't understand.
I can feel it bubbling underneath. Just blah, 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 blah. And I'm just. Might as well get the fireworks underway now, baby.
Ben, what would you cut?
If I could cut one, I would cut the Prince song.
Oh, that's two votes for it.
That's dumb. Okay. Math.
I don't think it's Prince's best effort.
I definitely don't feel like it's his best baby making song.
Now, if you'd put Purple Rain on here, I would have been like,
Purple Rain.
That would get me thinking.
Purple Rain.
I know the song. I'm familiar.
You ever heard it? The Purple Rain?
A little song called Purple Rain.
Yeah.
Okay. Or even the most beautiful girl in the world. I like that more than this one too.
Cream. I'm just naming Prince songs. I can't. At this point. Sorry. I mean, I thought we're just naming Prince songs at this point. Anyhow.
Okay. So there was this guy that I used to work with. I'm not going to call him out because I might still have some relationship with him. But there would be times when there would be something that was very obvious and inappropriate that could be said. Mm-hmm. And I would have to look at him and just say, don't do it.
Yeah.
Too late.
And you don't both know who I'm talking about.
I guarantee you I could say it right now. Yes.
That's low-hanging fruit, bud.
That's exactly. Mm-hmm.
I need you to not take that low-hanging fruit. I'm going to need you to let that one sit because I like working with you, and I don't want you to get fired today.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to need you to just keep that joke right there in that back pocket.
But it rarely works.
No.
So is Prince cut?
Yep.
Oh, that's sad. I like Prince. Okay. Just not that song.
Two spots and five songs. Wow.
So we've moved three over, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've agreed on the Boyz II Men song to be moved over.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure. Heather, if you could move one song over, what would it be?
Wicked Game. It's mine.
Let me ask a different question. If you could move one song over that wasn't yours, what would it be?
Oh, well, why would I do that?
I'm going to ask everybody that question.
Oh, okay.
Gosh, I don't know. Come back to me.
Beth, if you could move one song over that wasn't yours, what would it be?
Let's Make Love.
Okay. So it's really close for me between Wicked Game and I Want to Know. I like both of those songs. I would lean towards Wicked Game because it's a dead heat. Really, between both of those songs. I really do like both of those songs, particularly for this category. I think they both fit really well. But the Wicked Game one would give us a little bit more diversity in the list because I feel like it's going to be pretty R&B heavy now. And I would include Marvin Gaye in the R&B dating back in the history of R&B. Boyz II Men, obviously, is R&B. Pony is R&B. And so, you know, just for the just diversity for diversity's sake, in a dead heat for me, I would move Wicked Game over. So we all picked different songs, didn't we? That didn't do us very much good at all. Maybe we could eliminate one. So we've eliminated the Prince song. Heather, since we eliminated yours, if you could eliminate one song that's still on the list, what would you cut?
What's left?
Oh, you said Nice and Slow would be the one that you cut.
Yeah.
That's probably the one that I would cut too at this point.
Okay.
Because I like I Want to Know significantly better than Usher.
Okay. Song.
So how many songs do we have left?
Four, and we have two spots.
Ooh, two spots.
So what's left total?
I can tell you that I will probably go ahead and cut I Want to Know What Love Is from contention because, I mean, Beth has already said that of the two that of mine, she prefers Let's Make Love. And I had the Let's Make Love higher, too. So if I'm going to remove one from contention, I would remove the Foreigner song from contention.
Okay.
So I'll just go ahead and sacrifice it.
All right.
To the music gods.
So I have to cut one more. We have Let's Make Love, Wicked Game, and I Want to Know.
I don't know. Y'all got any ideas on how to settle this impasse?
Well, it's kind of up to Heather, I guess, because you already picked. Because obviously you'd want Let's Make Love to go over.
Right.
And then you already picked Wicked Game over that. So it's Heather going to say she'd obviously choose Wicked Game. So that's kind of like a shoe-in, I guess, to go over. And then so she's going to have to pick between Let's Make Love and I Want to Know is how I'm seeing that play out.
Well, this is where it gets tricky because, like, there would be two votes for Wicked Game to go in. There would be two votes for Let's Make Love to go in of the two. Oh, God.
And maybe that's...
Man. Yeah. You may be right. Maybe my math is wrong. So, you would cut Wicked Game from the list.
Yeah.
So you would put in Let's Make Love and I Want to Know I Want to Know.
Yeah.
And I would put in Let's Make Love and Wicked Game, and the two that you would put in are
Wicked Game and Let's Make Love.
Well, that's it.
So they all have No. Let's Make Love going. Or is that
that's
the five?
That's two for Wicked Game and two for Let's Make Love, and I'm the only one who. So that's.
So now we have to rank them 1 through 5.
Yes.
This could be tricky because I feel like that top three are really, really strong choices.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I mean.
And in fact, like, they're three of my top four. I had Let's Get It On 1, I'll Make Love to You 2, and then Pony was my 4 selection.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have them in that order. Like I had I'll Make Love to You 1, then Let's Get It On was 3, Pony was 4, but I could see how Let's Get It On could be 1. I would not in any situation put Pony above. I'll Make Love to You.
What? Foresee a situation yeah. where I would, okay.
But I could get on board with Let's Get It On being 1. I like I'll Make Love to You better, but I could go either way.
I mean, to me, like, those were the two, you know, like Heather said, she kind of pulls one out. Like, she kind of knows before we even start researching, like, there's one or two songs that you latch on to, and you're like, that's if this in. Is not going to be 1, it's going to be real close. Mm-hmm. And that's those two songs, Let's Get It On and I'll Make Love to You, were the two that I pulled out, and I said, man, these songs are going somewhere in my top five before I ever started looking to try to fill out that top 9.
I'm fine with that top 3.
In what order?
In what order?
Let's Get It On.
I'll Make Love to You,
yeah,
Pony.
I'm fine with that.
Obviously, I'm fine with that, too.
Well, because I just don't want... I don't see any world where Pony's going to jump up above Boyz II Men. Not for me. So I'm just not going to fight that fight.
So now we're between Wicked Game and Let's Make Love for the 4th spot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we know how that's going to play out, too.
Do we? Because one of them's mine and one of them's yours.
Yeah. And, I mean, one, she wanted to cut.
Oh.
Mine.
So you're probably going to put Let's Make, and I'm not saying because it's mine, but you're going to probably put that 4.
Yeah.
Well, I would put it 4 too.
So I'm outvoted. So there you go.
Democracy at work, people. Well, then by golly, we have a top 5.
Teamwork makes the freaking dream work. Okay. Final ranking. The best baby-making songs of 2024, according to us.
We got to make this Spotify playlist.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a good playlist.
Thank us in February or March.
And in about 9 months, there'll be a population boom. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can name your kids after me. I'll take that. All right, final ranking. Best baby-making songs. Number 1, Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. Number 2, I'll Make Love to You by Boyz II Men. 3, Pony by Ginuwine. 4, Let's Make Love by Faith Hill and Tim McGraw. And Wicked Game by Chris Isaak. Now, Happy Father's Day!
Out of those 5, now it surely seems like Pony is out of place. When you look at the other 4 songs, it's like,
well, Let's Get It On is also, pretty...
Almost,
it's not quite as romantic.
Almost said different strokes for different folks.
Hey, before we let you go, we want to remind you, check us out on our social media platforms. We are on X. I said it correctly this time. Are we on Instagram?
Yep.
We are on Instagram.
Yep.
We're also on Facebook. We have a group and a page. Join both. We're on YouTube.
Yes. And apparently TikTok.
Maybe TikTok. So, again, like, subscribe, interact with us. We would love to interact with you right back. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
I'm the new fool in town, and my sound's laid down by the underground. I'm drinking a bottle of Hennessy you got on your shelf, so just let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty, pronounced with the umpty. Yo, ladies, oh, how I like to funk thee. And all the rappers in the top 10, please allow me to bump thee. I'm stepping tall, y'all, and just like Humpty Dumpty, you're gonna fall when the stereos pump me. I like to rhyme, I like my beats funky, I'm spunky, I like my oatmeal lumpy, I'm...
Thanks for joining us on the Music List Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode.
She almost had it.